Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/prenatal. Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? I'm Kat, founder of Ritual. We're making traceability the new standard for the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I couldn't find a multivitamin I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested, and Clean Label Project certified. Oh, and our vitamin D3? It comes from sustainably harvested lichen from England, not sheep. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
It's the Opperman Report. And now, here is investigator Ed Opperman.
Okay, welcome to the Opperman Report. I'm your host, private investigator Ed Opperman. You can find me at Opperman Investigations and Digital Forensic Consulting, either through my website, emailrevealer.com. You just email me at oppermaninvestigations@gmail.com. If you need some PI work, otherwise check out our members section. It's not a member section anymore. It's a Patreon. You go to Opperman Report Patreon. And let me tell you something. If you haven't been a member of Opperman Report Patreon, everybody's talking about the big Proud Boys handbook that came out. Oh, did you read this? I've had that since 2019, okay? It was first in my member section on the old website, then it's been in Patreon since 2020. So if you want the inside stuff, you come to oppermanreport.com. Our archives you can always find for free at Spreaker.com. Our guest today, Casey Gain McCalla, has been on our show, practically a co-host. I think he's been on like five or six times, man. And one of my favorite guys. It was a great book.
Not 10 yet.
How many times has it been?
I'd say more than five, less than 10. This might be 10th.
Oh, really? Well, that's anniversary.
I came in because my book came out maybe 8 years, so I do about one, two a year, sometimes three a year, maybe a year I didn't do none, so maybe coming up on 10, yeah.
CIA war in Jamaica, right?
Inside the CIA's Secret War in Jamaica is my one and only book, still very relevant, could be coming up to something bigger. I'm excited about the intellectual property that I own with that book. But yeah, definitely go buy that book. It is a nice case study of how the CIA destabilized Jamaica through assassinations, narcotics, propaganda, economic sabotage. It deals with the assassination of Bob Marley. And I also try and do a nice concise history of the CIA and the deep state from the Bay of Pigs to the JFK assassination to Watergate to Operation Phoenix in Vietnam to Iran-Contra. So I try and give a nice summary of the CIA's dirty works to put it in context to what they were doing in Jamaica.
I probably could have made four books out of that one book.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Reality Theory is your new podcast. Where can we find that?
It's on YouTube, on my YouTube channel, which is Casey Gain, and hopefully it'll be other places if I have some, you know, good friends who can help me out some distribution, maybe.
You know, we might as well announce it now. If you go to Opperman Report's Spreaker channel, we're going to have Casey Gain's show up there. You'll be able to find it. It looks like in other shows you can find it. So we're looking forward to that. Reality Theory, it'll be on Spreaker.com, but for now you can find it on YouTube. And so just to get more attention to build up Casey's great work. Now, you got a new company too, Creative TV?
Yeah, Creative Resources, Artificial Intelligence, Technology, Visuals, and we're using a lot of these new artificial intelligence technologies, like we have Midjourney, where you have your kind of text to images, and we're combining it with real human art. We don't want the robots just making the art, but we're using AI as a tool, and we're also using this to make animations. Like right now, we're doing 20 to 30 second animations. Pretty soon, we're doing music videos, and hopefully, we'll be able to animate the Ed Opperman podcast really soon, and then do our own movies and own TV shows by using these new technologies that AI is really bringing. It's, you know, AI is doing a lot that you could do for all content creators. A lot of different ways you can use it and not be used by it. And we do consulting as well. So if anybody needs any visuals, if you need any design, if you need any fashion design, architecture, if you want us to design you a spaceship, a cartoon character, you can holler at Creative. Creative Resources, Artificial Intelligence, Technology, Visuals.
Yeah, people can find Casey Gain McCalla on Twitter and on Facebook too as well. And they always put up great content on those two platforms. So, Casey, you contacted me because you went mm-hmm. to school with this guy, Brian Walsh, who's the
Brian
husband.
Walsh with an E. Yep.
Walsh with an E. So tell us the story of Brian and Anna Walsh. And first start with, how did you meet Brian? Well, tell us the whole story. What's going on?
All right, so years ago, I went to a elite private school, which was in the like, heart of Boston. So it wasn't like your real preppy elite private schools. It was like a hippie/preppy/progressive/free-spirited school with a lot, but it was still very academically intensive. And one student I met there went by the name of Brian Walsh, and he, at age 14, he had, like, full, like, Armani and Versace suits. Like, a lot of the other kids at school were rich, but they would not flaunt their money. But this kid was, like, buying $250 lunches at the Ritz-Carlton. He was wearing, like, crazy clothes. Like, he just let the world know he has money. And but he was cool enough with me. Like, I didn't get a lot of the same snobbery that I got from his, like, elite rich contemporaries. But, you know, we were friendly. I wouldn't necessarily say friends. And then we both actually, I was expelled. I'm not sure if he was expelled, but we both left our junior year. And I graduated Cambridge and Latin, public school in Cambridge, and I think he went to boarding school. So I lost touch with him, and then years later he comes up in the news for allegedly, and I'm really stressing the word allegedly, killing his wife. His wife is named Anna Walsh, and she's originally from Serbia. So she came from Serbia. She originally started working as a maid in the kind of hotel business industry here, and she meets him while being a maid at his hotel. He marries her. So he's just a little context. His father is the head of neurology, or was the head of neurology at Brigham Young Hospital in Boston. So very powerful, very rich doctor in Boston. And from what I've heard from our classmates is he was very much like a helicopter dad. Like, he just kind of gave Brian money, and, you know, Brian had the condo to himself, and he could, you know, go to Ritz-Carlton for lunch and dinner, and, you know, go shopping at the Armani and Versace stores. But he didn't have necessarily too much good parenting time, which is very important, rather than just money.
Okay, Casey, when you knew Brian, did he have, like, his own side hustle, or this is all his parents' money?
It's all his parents' money. Okay. Definitely, no, he was not. I mean, I honestly don't know, because there's definitely a lot of private school drug dealers and stuff like this, but he didn't need it. He would not need to, like, you know, have a side hustle to flash it. He eventually did get into a hustle, which we'll get into in a second.
Okay.
So, So he gets married, I think, maybe like 8 years ago, to a Serbian woman who was an immigrant. She comes up, started working as a maid. And then, so he, allegedly they said he tried to scam his father out of $1 million or whatever. His father and him getting, you know, they don't talk for 10 years. In his will, his father says, "To my son Brian, I leave you best wishes and nothing else," which is really horrible and mean. Like, you could have just left him out, but he kind of had to mention as well that not only leave him out of the will, but mention in the will that you leave him out. So,
but then, wait, stop for a second. What was this controversy over the $1 million?
I really don't know the controversy. He had his own investment firm or something, and who knows what scamming is, what taking is, but there was definitely issues, financial issues between him and his dad. I guess his dad really spoiled him a lot, like, early on in life. I don't know if he kind of expected, like, that lifestyle to continue through his father, or he expected money for his father, or it was just, you know, a finance deal gone wrong. But he was never charged in the court of law for stealing from his father.
Oh, he
right?
wasn't, but, okay. But he did have that case with the eBay Andy right. Warhol?
Yeah, he did have the case with the eBay Andy Warhol. So I guess after he's, like, disinherited and cut off from the family fortune, his wife, who was, you know, a poor Serbian immigrant maid, her career starts to skyrocket. She goes to Cornell Hotel Management, and now she's a hotel manager. And him, you know, him without the family's money, he has a couple businesses that don't really do too well. And I guess eventually he goes to South Korea for some reason. And this is a crazy story. He goes to South Korea, and then his friend from South Korea says he just took his Andy Warhols, and then he said he's going to sell them for him. And then I guess he used the, or allegedly again, well, this isn't allegedly because he got actually convicted for it.
Right.
So he like took the deed of purchase from the ones he actually legally obtained from his friend, and then he used them to sell counterfeits, Andy Warhols, and that's why he was eventually put on house arrest at the time of his wife's disappearance. Like, I don't even say murder because there hasn't been a body found, so there's no proof that she is dead at this point in time.
And then the Andy Warhol, let's call it. But you know, it's just so funny. I just happened to have art thief expert Turbo Paul on the show just yesterday, who was an art thief and reformed art thief, and now he recovers stolen art. Big money with this guy. But this was an $80,000 Warhol counterfeit scam.
Right, which allegedly he tried to like circumvent the eBay kind of inspection process by doing it outside of eBay. And I'm not surprised at this. I don't know. And again, it's a weird foreign South Korea to hear. It's a setup. I don't know if he's being handled in some way or the friend who gave him or he took the Warhols from. Like, that seems like a really weird and fishy story. I don't know how you would get Andy Warhol paintings through customs without permission.
And how does he make a living besides the Andy Warhol?
So he, I looked on his LinkedIn, and I guess you could say the same thing about me. You know, I have these businesses that people can't say, you know, they make too much money, but I do have my own intellectual property, and I do work, and I do hope to, you know, make trades and make businesses and while raising my intellectual property. So he had these businesses, which I don't think were making too much money, which I don't know if it's a knock against him or he's going to make money eventually. But it seems like he was a stay-at-home dad, and his wife actually moved to D.C., leaving him with the kids. So after he's on like a house arrest, his wife moves to D.C. to manage this hotel.
Can I stop you for a second? Numerous businesses you describe, in what field were they in?
One was like a finance, one was investment, the other was an art dealing business, and the other one was a like a motivational speaking business, I guess.
Okay.
No, but it seems for all intents and purposes, he's a good stay-at-home dad. He has, you know, they have three kids. And while his wife is like this kind of power hotel mogul working in D.C., so he's living in Massachusetts while his wife is working in D.C. and basically living in D.C. and maybe coming home seeing the kids for the weekends. So,
yeah, she actually bought a home in D.C.
She did buy a home in D.C. She actually had, I think she had like $3 million worth of real estate, which isn't too crazy in for rich people's terms, but it is very substantial for someone who immigrated as a Serbian woman with, you know, no income and had to work as a maid.
Yeah, starts out as a maid, and she's managing the hotel. And she's a young woman, very pretty girl, too. How old?
Very, very attractive girl. No, she's maybe 39, 40, so she looks a lot younger than she is. And she's, you know, a wife of three.
Yeah.
A mother of three, sorry.
Yeah.
Three young kids, I think 2, 4, and 6. So, you know.
Wow, poor kids, man. Dad in jail, mom to God.
Yeah. So, and this is the interesting thing. And this is why, and there's a couple reasons I think he may be getting set up. And he might be a patsy for this. So, at the hotel where Anna Walsh worked, was a luxury hotel in D.C., it was actually there was actually a big federal investigation, and there were two people working there, Arian Tazaradeh and Haider Ali, and they would pose as Homeland Security agents, and they would kind of get relationships with the Secret Service people who were helping Joe Biden or helping Kamala Harris, and they would actually put them up in this hotel. For free, right? They put them up in this hotel for free. And then you find out later that this hotel had all sorts of bugging devices, cameras, and that these two people were kind of recording people who were living in the hotel doing like nefarious deeds.
Wait, is that really related to that other Secret Service case that where they were getting cars and free apartments?
Yeah.
It is?
Yeah. Yes, yes, yes. She managed that hotel where all this was happening, where they were getting the cars, the guns, the free apartments, and these, you know, two kind of, one of these guys, like, first they said they were Homeland Security agents, but right. One of these guys, Haider Ali, claimed ties to Pakistani intelligence, ISI.
Right.
And then when they go on trial, they just let him off.
Oh, wait a second. You're not going to believe this. I was just saying the other day, whatever happened to those guys? Because the headline said, and plus it wasn't even that long ago. Biden just got elected when this happened. And the headline says, oh, poor Secret Service agents were duped by these con men. They're getting a free apartment for a year.
Nothing.
Yeah.
And I think even the prosecutor said, or the judge said, oh, they just wanted to pretend to be agents for fun. But meanwhile, they have all these incriminating evidence on whoever's staying at this hotel. It's kind of like a Watergate Epstein hotel. Like, whatever sex is going on, whatever bestiality or drugs are going on, these guys definitely have leverage by recording and bugging people in a very common espionage tactic. So she's connected to these people. And a number of people, according to the New York Post, said that, like, she was trying to cover up. And she was forceful and shady in handling the aftermath. So his wife, my friend's wife, is also involved in this very shady, sketchy intelligence operation, which seems to be some sort of sex.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino. With cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Trap. Some sort of, you know.
Okay, so she was managing that hotel, and these two fellas, right. Haider Ali. What's the other guy's name?
Haider Ali, and the another one is Aryan Tazer.
We'll call him Aryan. We'll call him Aryan.
Aryan.
Okay, Aryan. Yeah. So these two were employed by her. She was their boss.
Right.
Wow.
Right.
What was their position at the hotel?
I'm not actually. She might not. They might have just been using the hotel.
Okay.
So she might have just been allowing them to use the hotel and use these apartments. I'm not clear if they had any official relationship with the hotel, but they were using it and she was covering up for them. So, and then, yeah, they get off scot-free, and then she goes missing. And so there's a few things that about, you know, I don't know this guy too well. I haven't talked to him in 30 years, but he was a bright kid, but he wasn't that much of a bright kid. But he was a smart kid. He went on to go to Carnegie Mellon. But he's too smart, I would think, to kill his wife and then Google how do I dispose of the body on his computer, or they said it was his son's tablet. I think he's too smart for that. But he's also not smart enough to dispose the body that nobody can find it after weeks. She's still missing, so they have all his searches on how to dispose of a body, but they can't find the body.
Okay, let's back up just a little bit. And Casey, I'm putting you on the spot, man. We're going to go through every one of these searches. I got them all in front of me. Okay.
Right.
I got every single one, the timestamp, hacksaw, best tool to dismantle. I got every one. We're going to go over.
Right.
But let's start first, because this happened New Year's Eve, that they were at a, they were celebrating New Year's Eve with a third party. Now, who is that other person?
He worked for Tishman Speyer, the same firm that owns the... that owned the hotel where they were doing all this kind of sex traffic.
Get out
of
here.
So that third person, yeah. And he's been the one all talking in the media about them, like Uncle Ruslan.
Yeah, but Ruslan, who are you? I'm my Ruslan. When you say your, own name like a threat. I love that. Okay, we're talking about the Sarnoff brothers and Boston bombing and their uncle who just happened to be... employed, and not a lot to say how he was employed. It's right. One of those kind of jobs. Now, so this third person was owned the company that owned the hotel.
Right.
He was high up.
He worked for them. Yeah. High up. Yeah.
Okay. And what does the husband say about this third person?
The husband has been really quiet, except for pleading not guilty. Like, I'd love to talk to him. Maybe he'll take my call and realize I'm a sympathetic journalist.
Oh, yeah, J-Pay, man. Put some money on his books. That'll call.
Yeah, I will.
Now, what about, because it's very odd, too. Now you tell me all this story, okay? Mm-hmm. Now I got a question. Because a lot is made up about him smiling while he's in handcuffs. What do you make of it?
I don't know. Well, yeah, he has mental issues as well, too. Like, yeah. And, I don't know how one would react. Like, I would smile when cameras are on me. I don't know. People saying, I don't know, a psychopathic smiling. People say, because I'm a sociopath. I don't think he was a sociopath, too. The more I read about him and from what I knew about him before, I think he's almost a sympathetic figure. And it's hard for me to feel sorry for someone with a rich daddy. But it turns out his rich daddy seemed like a real jerk. Kind of cutting him off after, like, spoiling him for all these years and putting him through, mental and verbal abuse.
Right. You know, it reminds me, remember Carter Page?
Yep.
Okay. And Carter Page was being accused of all this stuff, vices, all this stuff. And he would go on his talk shows and people couldn't understand why. And this guy wasn't fazed a bit. That big smile, that smirk on his face. He's walking through D.C. with the fishing hat on his head. And then we find out later on he's CIA and FBI asset. Okay. This guy had never worried in the world. Okay.
Yeah.
Right. And I always wonder why, too. How come Hannity isn't upset that that guy's deep state? Trump invited him in. How come he gets a pass?
There's a picture, I'm not sure if it's sure, of Hannity wearing like a CIA pin. And it's weird, Tucker Carlson wanting to be CIA. And now you saw on Tucker, he actually said he had a source that said the CIA was involved in the JFK assassination late last year. So I don't know what's going on with these guys. I think that, and even like the information I'm getting from is from the New York Post. So I think now that the left is in power, like they have less power over right-wing media. So you're getting more truth to power from the right-wing media now, even though I definitely disagree with them on most other stuff. So I don't know what's going on with Hannity. Hannity is definitely, he's definitely a Trump guy. And, Trump is definitely... somewhat controlled or compromised opposition, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So I think there was a fracture in the deep state that Trump kind of took over, but he's still, definitely connected to the deep state. And
okay, but back to Anna to Walsh. Where did this guy go? The third person at the apartment? Because what time did he leave? Do we know, first of all?
To be honest, Ed, I'm not aware of exactly when he left. I've been watching a few of his interviews and... And there was the other person, and the weird thing is, like, Brian lost his phone. He had to get his phone from another group of people. And the searches, like I said, there's no proof that he made those searches himself. They were on his son's iPad. So, if the kid leaves his iPad somewhere, someone else could easily make the search. Usually kids don't have passwords on their iPads.
How old is the son?
A separate iPad. Son, I think his oldest son is 6.
Okay, come on. A 6-year-old is not going to know these words. Okay.
Yeah. I'm not saying his son did it. I'm saying another person could have accessed his son's iPad. Because I don't think he's, dumb enough to ask how do I dismember a body, how You know, and again, there's no real motive. Like, she already knew he was a scammer. She already knew he was incarcerated for this. People, there's something about inheritance, but she wasn't making close to the type of money his father was making. So if he wasn't going to kill his father for the inheritance, like, you know, $3 million worth of property that's going to need to go to the three kids, whatever. It's not like she was a billionaire and he kills her and he's set for life, you know. I don't understand the motive. There's no body. There's no motive.
Oh, no, but wait, let's stop for a second, because back to the computer searches, on December 27th, the first thing he Googled was, what's the best state to divorce for a man?
See, I don't think that those are, I don't think he made those searches.
Even prior to the murder, you think he didn't make that search? Someone snuck in?
I'm not sure. Was that the one on his son's laptop, or was that the one on his laptop?
That's a good question.
If that's on his laptop, I'll take it. But if that's on his son's laptop, and it's, you know, because it could have been setting this up for a minute. You know, if this is espionage stuff. This is
right.
Big time spy game.
No, I got you. Wait, according to this article, it says, where is it? Adding to the, some of them were made on his son's iPad. The prosecutor said. So they're saying some.
So I don't know. So just because he wants to divorce her, possibly,
okay,
does not necessarily mean he wants to kill her. And there was no other indications that he wanted to divorce her. There was any tensions. Like, people, they brought up an incident before they were married 10 years ago where there was a domestic disturbance. She called the police on him. But obviously, she still married him after that, and they've had 10 years with no problems. Her own mother wrote a letter about how Brian helped nurse her to health when she was sick. You know, so her own mother wrote the letter so he'd get good treatment after the after the art fraud.
All right.
Yeah.
So then it says that they went to bed around 1 or 1:30 after celebrating with the other fellow. They say he left before 1. We know that for a fact.
Right.
Then at 4:55 a.m., how long before a body starts to smell? 4:58. How to stop a body from decomposing? 5:47. 10 ways to dispose of a dead body if you really need to. That's going to be a great title to a book. 6:25, how long for someone to be missing to inherit? Now, that's a question. Now, what would he have inherited from a wife?
I think she had $3 million worth of real estate, and she might have had, you know, 401k, this or that.
Yeah, but he would get that immediately. It's all joint.
She had separate accounts.
Even separate, if they were married at the time, right?
No, but she had her own separate real estate holdings, according to some of the sources I've read.
So, where were they? What state were they in?
Massachusetts.
And that's not a community property state?
Not sure.
Okay, that's an interesting question. Maybe he's just stupid. How long for someone to be missing to inherit? 6:34, can you throw away body parts? 9:29, what does formaldehyde do? 9:34 a.m., how long does DNA last? 9:59, can identification be made on partial remains? 11:34, dismemberment and the best way to dispose of a body. 11:44 a.m., how to clean blood from wooden floor. 11:56, luminol to detect blood. 1:08, what happens when you put body parts in ammonia? 1:21, is it better to put crime scene clothes away or wash them? You should have called up OJ.
this seems almost ridiculous.
It does. No, I give you that, man. I give you that.
It seems ridiculous to me. And if they had all this and they would, you know, be able to find out what he possibly could do, they should be able to find the body in a second. If this guy is such a stupid criminal that he's asking these stupid questions on a commonly held computer using his own Wi-Fi and IP from his own family, so he's that dumb of a criminal, but how come they can't find the body then?
Or how come he didn't throw away the laptop? If he went to all the trouble to use this kid's iPad, why not throw that stuff away? January 2nd, we got some problems January 2nd. He goes to Home Depot with a mask on and gloves and spends $450 in cash for supplies, including mops, a bucket, goggles, tarp, a hatchet, and baking soda, according to prosecutors.
I watched all the video, and they said they showed the video of him at the juice place. And then they said he goes to a store with a mask on and gloves on and spends cash. How do they know? like, he spends cash.
Yeah.
It's mask, gloves, right? So, there's no... I haven't seen any pictures of him with the mask on, gloves on, that show it's definitely him.
Okay.
And we're not living in the COVID era where everyone just throws a mask on and gloves on anymore. I have not touched a mask in a year.
I still see people in masks all the time.
I do, too. Yeah. I do, too. But they're few and far between for me. And, you know, I would say, anytime I would go into a Home Depot or a supermarket or a mall, I would say 99% of people are not wearing masks, and they're also not wearing gloves either.
Right.
But so he's come, so allegedly there's no pictures of him with it.
Okay.
If he is wearing a mask, a black mask, it would be... I don't know how they know. He spends cash, right? He doesn't use his credit card, so they can't say he's spending on his credit card. There's no pictures of him that they presented to the media, but they have presented this other video of him at the juice bar.
And is he wearing the same clothes? Oh, we don't know, because we don't know, right? Okay.
I don't know, because I haven't seen the videos or any pictures of him at the Home Depot buying $450 worth of cleaning supplies.
Okay, but one problem is that he lied to the police. Well, great. Someone was there, okay, because they got receipts, and someone in there, and they bought a hacksaw. Oh, no. Wait. Here it is. He bought mops, a bucket, goggles, tarps, a hatchet, baking soda, according to prosecutors. And then on January 2nd, there were searches. Hacksaw, best tool to dismember. 1:10 p.m., can you be charged with murder without a body? 1:14 p.m., can you identify a body with broken teeth? He said he never left the house on January 2nd. He left his phone at home, I believe, right? But then they say that... Right. The phone was in the house.
Well, there is something about a missing phone that I've seen in some of these news reports. So
oh, really?
There was a phone that, yeah, he definitely was missing his phone for a period of time, and he needed to come get it from a friend or something.
Okay, January 3rd, then there's 1:02 p.m., what happens to hair on a body? 1:13 p.m., what is the rate of decomposition of a body found in plastic bag compared to a surface in the woods? what's going to come up when you search these things? Now this story is going to come up. But what was coming up before?
You think Google will automatically alert people on stuff like that?
Dude, are you kidding?
We went to an elite private school, and even if you were super rich, you could not, even the super rich kids were not just going to our super elite private school. Everybody from this private school either goes to Ivy League school or goes to Haverford or Wesleyan, or, you know, God forbid they go to UMass. They're a big disappointment. You know what I'm saying? So he's a smart kid, and he's smart enough to forge Andy Warhol paintings, but he can't understand, you know what I mean? And he got away with doing that for a long time, but he's dumb enough to ask how to do. But he's smart enough that you can't find the body. So if you're dumb enough to ask all these questions on how to get rid of the body, you would think that the FBI, whoever, would say, oh, well, he clicked here. Why don't we see if he did this? If he's trying to get blood off, it's if not for the obviously, and you, no one is talking about her relationship to this crazy espionage case.
I hear you,
and
man.
No one's
I hear
talking
you.
About it. You'd think this would normally be a Watergate level type scandal, right? But no, it's nothing. And you think about, you know, how do you silence stories from getting big? Because I don't know how they got off in the first place. That's crazy. That is, they were literally impersonating Homeland Security agents and recording them, and it's crazy that they didn't get caught. I don't know if it was an intelligence thing. Like I said, one of them claimed to be with the ISI. I don't know if that's also Saudi intelligence. I know ISI is supposed to work with the CIA and the United States, but the Saudis. And, could have been, who knows what it is, it could have been a CIA operation with them using ISI, and they're spying on the Bidens, even though he's down with them anyways, because they still want to compromise people at all costs. Who knows?
Yeah, very. That whole first story with that arrest of those Secret Service agents. No, by the way, whatever happened to those Secret Service agents? Did they lose their jobs or got promoted? What happened?
Yeah, I do think they.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. With daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lost their jobs. The four secret agents were placed on leave. They were placed on leave pending review of their actions. So I don't think they were fired. I think they were just placed on leave and then they came back. Because according to the New York Post article, which is pretty recent, they were just placed on leave.
Yeah, that whole story stinks, man. You know, that whole story stinks.
I'm going to message it to you, man. It's crazy. And there's some other stories on it. So that seems to be way more of a common motive. Because, again, like, why? What's his motive for killing her? He just decides, hey, you know, let me kill my wife who's working and bringing home the bacon. You know what I'm saying? She's bringing home the bacon. He's staying at home, raising the kids, being a fun stay-at-home dad. Like, he, after being cut off from his dad's wealth, he's found a new source of income. Like, they lived in a really nice upscale neighborhood in upscale suburb near Boston. Nice house. So he's just going to kill his wife to get the inheritance, raise the three kids by himself without a wife because... What, he's not cheating on her with anybody, you know? He doesn't find a new wife to just say, hey, why don't I find this new wife and kill the old one? There's no evidence of that. So I don't know. It just seems, the whole thing seems very fishy to me. And it seems like there's a lot of attempts to, like, over-assassinate his character in the media and kind of set him up as a patsy to me.
Yeah, very interesting, this connection to that other case. And is anybody in the media talking about that? No.
No, y'all, there was just like one, so I even on YouTube, all I saw was one shout out to, I think it's like Country Old Woman, and you know, she didn't have the best and most professional setup, but she was, the New York Post is covering it, that's the only place, and I think New York Post is probably like, when right now, after the Hunter Biden laptop issue, they're probably one of the few uncontrolled media sources from government, until Donald Trump or whoever becomes president again, then they'll be controlled by the Republicans again.
Oh boy! Well, great. We got to keep an eye on this story here. And now, when's he going to trial? You know,
when is he's already pled not guilty. I'm really not sure. I wish I knew him better. I could be a character witness, but I might. I don't know if I really want to go to be a trial jury again. Hopefully, it'll be on TV, so I don't need to go to Massachusetts.
All right.
And there's no body at all, and there's definitely no proof that she's dead.
Yeah, that's interesting too.
That she's involved in intelligence, you know, like, who knows? Like, they could have caught her, and they could be interrogating her right now, and they don't want to let the world know that they got scammed by a Serbian, and so they're just, you know.
Yeah, it's interesting with all the messages, the searches for cleaning products and the purchase of cleaning products. You can't clean everything, man. There would either be signs of the cleaning, because when you start cleaning up that blood, you smear it around. And then it shows up in the luminol. It's not like he was buying certain chemicals that can defeat the luminol. And it's nothing in the complaint.
And he's on house arrest. So he's constantly monitored. You know what I'm saying? So if he goes outside and dumps the body outside.
Wait a second. He had a tether on?
Yeah.
Well, you didn't mention that, Casey. Don't get mad at me. You got to tell me these things. You're right. He's on house arrest.
And so, they should be able to monitor him. So either he, and I've read some cases, you know, so there's one weird true crime case where somebody killed his wife and then, like, he would invite people over and tell them to smell it. Like some Jeffrey Dahmer type stuff. Like, right. He told people it's, like, bad meat or something like that. But no. He can't, like, so if that. If he's so dumb that he's going to do all these searches, then he's going to leave some trace of the body, some trace of DNA, some trace of something that should be so easy to pick him and find up. He's not, you know, Pulp Fiction hiring the cleaner.
Yeah, so the only thing, by the way, his lawyer did say that the only thing he was arrested for is not telling the police he went to Home Depot. So it almost seems like they're like the lawyers acknowledging that that was him at Home Depot. But you're right, we haven't seen those videos there. We don't know about any kind of analysis, CSI, crime scene investigation for blood and you know, residue, signs of murder.
Body, no forensics, no. They, when they have evidence, the first thing that they say is the evidence that they have.
Like, well, you know, they it could still be coming up. It could be testing the way to come back. Up. Yeah, let's see.
But they're leaning so heavy on these circumstantial evidence, like, oh, he's such a bad guy because he sold fake Andy Warhols. Oh, and he was a troubled guy who had problems with his father and all, you know, and. All right, you know, there's a lot of troubled people who have problems with their fathers. There's a lot of scammers out there who scam, but doesn't mean they all kill their wives.
You know, that is interesting.
Especially the bigger motive, I would say, like, the bigger motive outside, which no one's covering, is her work at this shady hotel, which is recording Secret Service agents. And also, they said they found him with a cache of, like, silencers, night vision equipment, all, like, fake badges, and then they got off. Like, whoa. Like,
yeah,
no one in the media, and you'd think this would be an interesting story for the media to talk about, but they're not talking about it.
No, you're right. When I just did the bunch of searches before we agreed to do the show, one of them is Nobody, No Crime, Brian Walsh, and the surprising conviction rate of the Nobody murder cases. So right away they're saying, oh, more people are convicted with nobody than with bodies. So it's very interesting that the way they're trying to manipulate the story.
They're framing it like they're already like kind of assuming that we can't find the body because he has this Google search that is so well done that will, you know, stop him from finding the body. But come on, bro. Like, you can't be so dumb to Google search how to get rid of a body on your son's iPad or using your own Wi-Fi and then be so smart to be like a Jimmy Hoffa mafia level. You know, it's when you have a tether on you, when you're on house arrest and you have no cohorts.
Yeah. No one's helping you. You can destroy that laptop and the iPad and stuff like that. It just makes no sense. Okay, Casey Gain, I know you're working on some other stuff here on your podcast, Reality Theory. That's just about to come up. Jesse Jackson, Martin Luther King, and Jesse's involved with the gangs in Chicago.
So I already released, I called it Judas and the Black Messiah Part 2, Jesse Jackson and Martin Luther King. So those familiar with the movie starring Lakeith Stanfield and Fred Kaluuya, I think that he won the Oscar for that. It was about Fred Hampton and the informant who told the FBI about the floor plan and drugged him and led to his assassination. So it was a really good movie. And it's kind of like the same plot with Jesse Jackson, according to William Pepper and his book, The Plot to Kill King, that Jesse Jackson was one of the informants working with the FBI and the Memphis police to set up MLK to be killed. So that was my last episode. So the new episode, I'm, you know, continuing on the thesis that Jesse Jackson is an FBI informant, controlled opposition. And we see what he's doing in Chicago, where Fred Hampton was uniting the gangs, right? So Fred Hampton was uniting all the gangs. He actually had a massive gang truce and coalition that were marching on the streets for jobs. And it was Jesse Jackson's group, Operation Breadbasket, that disrupted this coalition. And he's the one who started the beef between the churches and the gangs. And his people went to Congress and testified about how bad the gangs were. And then you had the kind of war on the gangs, and then all the gang leaders would be arrested, and then the murder crime rate went crazy.
Real quick, let me stop you for a second. Fred Hampton was murdered by police. It was like 19 years old. It just back then.
21.
Oh yeah, but those speeches, those famous speeches, you see Fred Hampton, man, he was 19 years old.
And he accomplished more in 2 years than, you know, no disrespect to Malcolm X and Martin Luther King, but he accomplished as much as they did in 2 years as they did in, like, you know, 15, 20-year careers. He united. He had the real Rainbow Coalition. So this is another reason Jesse Jackson has kind of controlled opposition, is because the real Rainbow Coalition was the SDS. It was the Young Lords, and it was the Black Panthers. So it was all these militant groups. It was Students for a Democratic Society. It was the Young Lords, these militant anti-capitalist revolutionary groups. Mm-hmm. And then Jesse Jackson gets his nice, friendly church Rainbow Coalition of mild-mannered people calling for peace and not revolution. So there's a lot into it. So that's going to be really good. That episode should be coming out either today or tomorrow, depends on if anyone else wants to talk about Brian Walsh. But I should do my own episode on Brian Walsh too, which I should get out this week, and hopefully there'll be some more information that I can give to y'all by the time I get that out.
You know, it's interesting to interrupt you, man, but the Young Lords, because I lived in the Bronx at the time of the Young Lords, you know, and the leadership was Geraldo Rivera, Felipe Luciano, mm-hmm. and Pablo Guzman. And they all got these media jobs after this,
yeah.
And kind of the Young Lords fell apart.
Guzman's on Democracy Now, which I think is problematic, but I guess it's also good. And I don't know if it's as much like Geraldo. I would guess might have been an agent from the jump.
Yeah, I did a whole show about Geraldo. You know, Geraldo has had his own island there for a while, and suddenly came. You know, the guy was, you know, flopping around, man, with the vault. You know, Al Capone's vault. And suddenly, this whole controversy came up about Marilyn Monroe being murdered by the Kennedys ABC. And suddenly, $1 billion drop into this man's lap. And he's got a helicopter. He's got his own newspaper. He's buying an island. Where'd it come?
I actually watched that episode because I think that episode was with Sam Giancana's son, maybe. And then with Marita Lorenz, where they talked about how Sam Giancana was responsible for the death of Marilyn Monroe to kind of scare the Kennedys, and, you know, because she was definitely caught up in some of that mob business and knew what was going on. And so that, yeah. And then after that, like him, Montel, like, you know, Bill O'Reilly, all these guys who occasionally spoke truth to power, I don't know if they got bought off or they were always, or they were controlled opposition from the start.
I think if they, well, you know, I don't know, man, no one's coming offering me money, you know, you know, buy me off, but, you know, you know, damn. Like, what is it? I don't know, but they pick these people. They elevate them. They, you know, they pay them off.
I think because you don't have any big sex scandals.
Yeah.
If they could compromise you, then they know. Oh, then they give you the job. And then maybe they think they'll let you rock for free and you do your own journalism. And then finally when you say, hey, I finally have proof that the CIA killed JFK, I'm going to expose it to the world. And then the CIA comes, hey.
Yeah, you know, you're absolutely right, you know, because I've had a couple of times. I've had a couple of times trying to be set up that way, okay? And I've always caught on to it. Very lucky.
Yeah.
Yeah, very lucky.
Yeah.
Now, Fred Hampton, back to Fred Hampton for a second, because brilliant kid. What kind of schooling, what kind of education did he have? It was all instinct, right?
Fred Hampton was, I think he was a middle-class kid from, like, the suburbs of Chicago. I know he worked for the NAACP before, and he was doing things like some of the same stuff the NAACP does now. Like, he was trying to get more black homecoming queens into the schools.
Wow.
While, you know, you're having incarceration, those problems. So he thought the NAACP was, like, not militant enough. They weren't opposing the Vietnam War. So within one year of being head of the Black Panther Party, he handled, I think he sat in and was the lawyer for Bobby Seale for the Chicago 8. Like I said, he had the gang truce that united not only the Blackstone Rangers and the Gangster Disciples, but also the Vice Lords. He started that coalition, again, the Rainbow Coalition, the Breakfast Program. So he did so many amazing things in 1 year, and you kind of understand, like, why J. Edgar Hoover had to take him out, like, even before he could really sprout. Like, yeah, 21 years old, like, really young, and was only really active as a Black Panther for 1 year since he was 20. And, you know, he was about to be a father. So it's a real tragedy, man. I mean, the more and more I look at Fred Hampton, the more and more I look up to him. And like I'm saying, I don't want to in any ways downplay the greatness of Malcolm X and Martin Luther King. I just want to show you in what a small time period Fred Hampton did so many amazing things.
And just think, if they didn't kill him off as a teenager, if they didn't kill this guy off then, where would he be? Senator Hampton, President Hampton, where would this guy be today, man? You know?
Right, and it's interesting. And Bobby Rush was his right-hand man, and it was actually Jesse Jackson who Bobby Rush turned himself into, and then Bobby Rush goes to jail, and he comes back an alderman. Now he's a Chicago politics guy. He's not a Black Panther anymore. He's a Democrat.
Yeah. Bobby Seale, too, man. I was going to have him on the show. He starts talking about Hillary Clinton. Listen,
dude. Oh, my God.
Nice to know you, man. You know? and you know what, man? And he helped my daughter. My daughter, in high school, my daughter was writing a paper. And he helped my daughter with the paper, okay? And then later on in Drugs is Weapons Against Us, me and Bobby Seale co-starred in the film. You know what happened? John Potash puts out a documentary film called Drugs is Weapons Against Us. And there's all this file footage of like 100 people, man, right? All these different names. But somehow on IMDb, the only two people in the film are Ed Opperman and Bobby Seale.
Only people credited.
Okay. I know, man.
And they used Tupac's in there.
Yeah.
Maybe you guys are one of these guys soon.
I mean, me and Bobby soon. Oh, my God. Well, we stay on top of our IMDb pages, man, and we update them. But no, explain to me, though, what are you going to tell us that Jesse Jackson, what was his actual involvement in sabotaging all this stuff?
All right, so you had a unity not only between the gangs, between the Vice Lords, the Stones, and the Gangster Disciples, and they also became a political force. So they started working with some of the Black churches groups. Like one was KOCO, another one was CUCA, another one was Operation Breadbasket, which was Jesse Jackson's group. So they're all working together. They're protesting construction sites. They're protesting supermarkets for Black jobs. Jesse Jackson's underling gets into a dispute with one of the Blackstone Rangers, and he winds up like firing shots at him. Allegedly, they say the Stones came back and shot at him, but no one was ever caught for it. No one ever admitted to it. So after this, this preacher, I think his last name was Burrell, and Jesse Jackson, they go on a massive campaign against the gangs. They march against the same gangs that they were just working with to create jobs, and a couple of them went to Congress and told Congress, you guys need to take out the gangs, you guys need to take out Jeff Fort, the same Jeff Fort who Jesse Jackson just took a picture with and was working with. So the kind of united coalition.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Of not only the gangs in Chicago, but also the Black churches and Black activists and civil rights activists, Jesse Jackson definitely put a split right into that coalition. And after that, we see like a lot of the gang leaders gets arrested. The murder rate skyrockets to the 1974. Like everyone talks about how bad the murder rate in Chicago has been recently. The most it ever was in 1974, before the crack era, before all this like gangster rap going on now. Like it was so, and that was a direct result of kind of all the leaders who came together for the gang troops were all either arrested or killed within like a 4 or 5 year period after. And Jesse Jackson was one of the people who really launched the campaign against the gangs after being like friendly with them.
No, okay. So, what do you think motivates that? Because even if the gangs aren't fighting amongst each other, they're still going to sell drugs and stuff, you know. But is it to sell weapons to kill off young Black men? What is it?
When you look at a lot of the FBI documents, is their big fears are the gangs adopting Black nationalism, gotcha, becoming more like the Panthers. So if you can get the gangs to be, and this is another thing. Jesse Jackson brings this guy, Noah Robinson, right? He brings this guy, Noah Robinson, his half-brother with him from Columbia, from Greenville, South Carolina to Chicago to run Operation Breadbasket. Noah Robinson is educated at Wharton. And you would think he's this kind of brilliant, positive black businessman. This guy is like the black Meyer Lansky. He's Gus Fring. He's Jesse Jackson's half-brother, who Jesse Jackson brought to Chicago, winds up doing all the money laundering in Chicago. He winds up hiring the gangs to, like, kill his enemies. He winds up bringing a lot of drugs from South Carolina to Chicago through the same gang that his own brother was beefing with. So Jesse Jackson's brother becomes, like, this big-time criminal. He just got out after serving a life sentence. Well, obviously not a life sentence because he has cancer, but he was just recently freed. But Jesse Jackson's brother, Noah Robinson, was a big-time scammer and criminal. And it's not exactly evident when he first became a criminal, or did he get corrupted by Chicago, or did he corrupt Chicago. But his main, like, drug supplier was his friend from South Carolina, Thomas Allen Burnside. He had been running a criminal enterprise since 1963. So it's not exactly clear if ever Noah Robinson was a legitimate businessman or when exactly he became a criminal. Was he always a criminal? But Jesse Jackson brought a lot of the crime and drugs to Chicago and a lot of these kind of weaponizing the gangs and getting the gangs back to being hitmen. And
Jackson too has always been sort of an extortionist. You know, he's on the board of Coca-Cola and stuff like that. Huge amounts of money. He went to the Democratic Party and told them, "Listen, I won't run for president anymore. But I want my own plane. I want this. I want a salary. I want this."
That's what it was about too. Like, a lot of it was about that. So the Reverend who had a beef with the Stones, he came to Jesse Jackson, and Jesse was like, "Yeah, they're trying to bother me for money." Like, so the gang owed Jesse Jackson owed the gang money, and rather than paying the gang, he starts off a war with the gang. He starts his own gang called Black Men Marching, and they march against the gang. And Jeff Fort was saying that Jesse Jackson's men were trying to kill him. So I don't know if he had his own, like, own armed gang, and he had his own detective agency he was working with. But there was a lot of shady stuff that Jesse Jackson went on to Chicago after coming in, trying to be like the Fred Hampton guy, the guy with the Rainbow Coalition, the guy who's uniting the gangs. The next thing you know, he's dividing the gangs, attacking the gangs, letting it be known to the American public that the black community doesn't want these gangs here. So then you have the war on gangs with Mayor Daley, with the government. All the gang leaders who were before trying to make truces with the other gangs, all of them get locked up. The gangs split up. The gangs start fighting amongst each other. The murder rate goes up astronomically, and then later...
Okay, Casey, we only got about 10 seconds left, so let's get a reality theory you could find on YouTube, but we're going to have it on Opperman Report on Spreaker. It'll go up on all the podcast platforms. We're talking about the... Find Casey Gain McCalla on Twitter and Facebook, and I guarantee you, if you follow his content, it's always good stuff. He has a great perspective on things. Casey Gain McCalla, thank you so much.
Thank you, Ed. Yeah, let's talk again soon, man. Great talking. I'll definitely follow this case. It's good to follow. You know, history is always great, but it's nice to watch history unfold sometime. And I will say, free Brian Walsh. He's innocent till proven guilty.
Okay, brother. Talk to you soon.